here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Welcome in, everybody. Day 2 preview, Jacob Draft Special here with John McMullen. I'm Xander Krause. Thanks for tuning in last night, everybody, on the draft coverage. John, a big night one, and now we prepare for day 2 of the NFL draft, rounds 2 and 3. Eagles are sitting at 50 and 53 overall, so kind of clumped together. I'll get to you for your initial take. I'm hearing some reports that the Eagles might be aggressive, might move up. What's your early indications on what you think the Eagles might do round 2? Is it a stay put thing, get 2 players, or do you package them and go get the guy you want?
Well, you know, I think it's interesting when they move the draft to 3 days, you have, you know, and you always had it with the second day, but now you have it with day 2 and day 3. You have the whole night to sort of mull and think over what happened. GMs around the league looking at the board. And the Eagles did this last year on day 3 with Kaylee Ringo, and they said, wow, Ringo's still there. And they went up, I think, to the 3rd pick in the 4th round, and they got a player they really wanted. They've been giving up a future 3rd to get him in the 4th round. That's how much they liked him. So, yeah, and especially coming off a day where Howie didn't trade.
Yeah, and, right.
You know, he might be having the itchy trigger finger, so to speak. So, yeah, I could see him identifying a player and going up and trying to get him. The question is, obviously, what player would that be? And nobody jumps out at me. I know a lot of fans were potentially excited about Cooper DeJean, and if they did go in that direction, obviously it would be for him to move to safety, I would think, at this particular stage of the game. But in this draft, I keep going back to the fact that this is one of the deepest offensive line drafts in recent history. One of the deepest offensive line drafts, honestly, ever. If you look at it from the fact that in the 1st round, I believe, I'm trying to pull it up, I believe 9 were taken in the 1st round.
Yep.
And, you know, that tied the record for offensive line. We were talking about, you know, all the offensive news and the fact that 14 consecutive offensive players to start, 6 quarterbacks in the first 12, which is a record to get 6 off the board that quickly. And then everybody kind of forget about the offensive line, but you wake up and 9 were selected, which is only the 4th time since 1967 that 9 were selected, and the 8 tackles ties the record. So, and that was the 1st round. And you look at the 2nd round, and right on the top, you got Houston, Patrick Paul from Houston. A lot of people thought he might be a 1st round pick. He might sneak into the back end. You have the interior guys that, Jackson Powers Johnson and
Jackson Powers Johnson a lot.
Yeah, and Zach Frazier from West Virginia, Mike Gill's school. So, those guys, a lot of people thought they'd be 1st round picks at some point in the process. And then there's a bunch of guys that should go in day 2, like Christian Haynes and Blake Fisher and a guy Roger Rosengarten, who the Eagles brought in to look at, Cooper Beebe, who the Eagles brought in to look at. So there's so many of them, and I just can't imagine in an offensive line heavy draft, Howie Roseman going out of both days without getting one of these offensive linemen. So I keep defaulting back to that, which I know is not going to excite people, but there's so many good ones. It seems like a swing and a miss if you don't get one.
Yeah, I agree with that, especially when you have Jeff Stoutland, when you have Lane Johnson, who's on you know, the wrong side of 30. So I'm with you there. They lost Jason Kelce, obviously. So I think offensive line would be a good. John, question on day two. We kind of talked about before the show how much the draft kind of opens up at this point. You said a phrase, pick your flavor almost. There's a lot more prospects to go from. A lot of teams have more picks. They can move around, kind of go and get the player they like. How much of a balance is it to balance your needs as a football team versus best player available? I know a lot of people talk about that in round one, where it's like, forget the needs, take the best player available. That's typically the best method to go about it in round one. How does that balance out in round two, round three, and day three?
It balances out a little bit more from the perspective of there's a lot more different viewpoints. A lot of boards as you go down shift dramatically. So, you know, one team might like a player and another team might not even give that player two thoughts. And it's sort of that's, you know, the favorite flavor type atmosphere. So you have a lot more conflicting views on certain prospects, and that could lead to much more surprises and much more question marks and things like that. But from a general perspective, yeah, I mean, it's always a bad idea to reach for need. I don't care if it's a first round or a seventh round pick. Obviously, it means less in the seventh round because you're taking lottery tickets at that point. But it generally doesn't go well. And, you know, as one GM told me, you never go bankrupt taking good players. But you can go if you start reaching and say, well, I need this, so I have to take this at this particular point. You're probably going to make more mistakes. And that's obvious in the first round, but even throughout the draft. So, you know, but then the aspect of volume versus because a lot of people and analytically driven people will say trade down. I always say trade down more than go up. And I think that's pretty simple. If you're a contender, trade up. Go try to find that piece. And if you're a rebuilding team, trade down because you need to populate your roster. In the case of the Eagles, they don't have an open spot. They don't have tons of open spots on their 53-man roster. So who cares if they have 12 picks?
Yeah. They need less starts. They need good players.
Yeah. Contenders, to me, that's simple. Contenders, go for it. Try to get those difference-making players. And if you're a 3-4 win team, even 6-7 mediocre, try to populate your roster, try to find players. And the more lottery tickets you have, the more likely you'll hit. So to me, that's pretty simple. But GMs, and I talk about it all the time with Howie Roseman, very few people have the rope that Howie Roseman does. So GMs have to act in a certain way to keep their jobs. And when that's the case, and this is really about ownership around the NFL, when you're putting people under that duress, it's going to make their jobs more difficult.
Yeah, it is, John. On the offensive side, I see, as we've talked about already to start, before we get into some players, I want to hit on a few position groups. Offensive line, and then I see maybe another wide receiver. We've talked about potential wide receiver. And then on the defensive side, linebacker, obviously everybody's talking about linebacker. They're talking about Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker from Texas A&M. They're talking about Junior Colson, the linebacker from Clemson, who our buddy Andrew DeCecco spoke highly of. And then edge rusher. I could see them going edge rusher. Obviously, none of these conversations can happen in a vacuum. If they like one player at a certain position, you know, they're not, you can't just say they're going to jump for one position or the other. But how would you grade them on what way they should go there? You know, obviously the Eagles are a trenches kind of team and they didn't pick in the trenches in the first round. Is an edge rusher a possibility? Is it, you know, offensive line, or do you see them potentially splashing with skill position on offense or a linebacker on defense?
Well, I'd like to see him get a linebacker, I admit, but I've been looking more at the fourth round there because just to the simple, I think they're going to kind of, Edgerrin Cooper would be my guy as well. I'm not as high on Junior Colson.
He's high rated on a lot of people's big boards for day two. I think they would have to go up to get Edger and Cooper.
Yeah, and that's the problem. I think they're in no man's land. Obviously, you're not going to take him at 22, and he's probably not going to reach the 50. So is that a player you're going to go up and package players and go up and get? Probably not at that position. Probably that's not the way Howie's going to think. At a valued position, he might consider that. But I think he's kind of in no man's land. But, you know, I would never have imagined that Quinyon Mitchell would have lasted to 22. So you never know.
And Howie's been running some trends this offseason as well.
Yeah.
Where maybe he is in a position where he feels the roster is good enough. Let's package two twos and go and grab our linebacker that we think can make a difference on the team right away.
Yeah, and I think there's a couple obvious. I mean, I think they really want to get some competition for Tyler Steen. Not that he couldn't win the right guard job, but, if you draft a Cooper Beebe, for instance, and then you have a competition, all right, who wins the job? And I think that would be helpful no matter who comes out of the summer. And it could be, as Paul Domowicz said, it could be Matt Hennessy, a veteran guy who's had injury concerns for the last two seasons, but before that was a pretty good player at the NFL level. And who knows if they strike lightning there from a health standpoint. He might be the competition, and he might not need a younger player. But they also need the heir apparent, which we've been talking about for Lane Johnson, and he got a bunch of tackles as well. So that just makes sense to me. And then off-ball linebacker, I can't believe the Eagles are not going to get some kind of competition for N'Kobe Dean and Devin White. And Edger and Cooper would be that competition. And I would argue if they were able to get him, I would bet on him being a day one starter in Brazil over one of those two guys, and maybe even a Junior Colson. And I think they can get competition even later because I think they're so weak. I think that's the one obvious weakness on this team is off-ball linebacker.
Yeah, and you mentioned the competition for Tyler Steen. Cam Jurgens is slated to move over to center. I think that's where Jackson Powers Johnson is interesting. We'll get into him real quick. I see a lot of people pre-draft, pre-even round one, a lot of people speaking really highly of him as a prospect. Could you see how we potentially going up for a guy like that? But the tricky thing with him is he's more of a center, no?
Who are you talking about? Who I missed?
Jackson Powers Johnson.
Yeah, he's more of a center, but he's got interior ability. And
they wouldn't think about moving Jurgens back to the guard, would they, if they took a guy like that?
Well, it gives you the luxury of, maybe he's a better center. Maybe Jackson Powers Johnson is a better center.
And people will remember once upon a time they drafted Landon Dickerson to be a center, but he was so good at the guard, they weren't moving him. I wonder if they're thinking maybe the same on Jurgens.
It just gives you that flexibility. So if a bunch of Grant Barton's a guy who I said, and I believe, and he ultimately went in the first round to Tampa Bay. That dude's going to be a day one starter. I don't know where he can play center. He can play either guard. I think the same thing with Jackson Powers Johnson and Zach Frazier, not to the degree of Barton, but they can all play three interior positions. And then if you bring one of those two guys in, then you say, all right, well, who's better at center? You already know Cam can play guard at a pretty solid level. So if it has to go that way, you can go back to that way. But I do think the Eagles want Cam Jurgens to be their center, would prefer if they got somebody like that, they would try them out at right guard first. But if it doesn't work, you could always make that switch. And that's part of the luxury of versatility.
Yeah, a couple guys in the chat saying Jurgens is more of a natural center. I think he'll fill in there nicely. I just wonder if, they would like the continuity of keeping him at that guard position, similar to, like I said, how they did with.
Well, in Landon's case, Landon was so good at left guard. I don't think Cam played to that level. But he played at a more than acceptable level at right guard. So he's already proven, and he is a natural center, but he's already proven that he can play right guard in the NFL. He's already proven that. Got to stay healthy, but he was a Pro Bowl alternate last year. And his first year playing right guard. So, and, you know, I think people say it's like Isaiah Rodgers because he played outside in Indianapolis. A lot of people say he's an outside corner. Well, he played outside because they have Kenny Moore. He's also 5'10" and 170 pounds. So if he didn't have Kenny Moore, they probably would have played him inside.
Right.
But they needed an outside corner. So just because somebody plays a certain position doesn't mean they can't do something else. In the case of Cam Jurgens, he wasn't always a center at Nebraska. He was an undersized tight end at one point. So, you know, things change.
Yeah, and I think Eagles are in a, you know, you always say Howie's in a luxury position with the owner and the security. I think the Eagles are kind of in a luxury position with the offensive linemen too, where they can – you can almost look at the group and say, pick the best player or pick the one you like the most and put him in Stoutland U and let him go to work and he'll fill in where we need him. So I think that's obviously a good thing for the Eagles. They've had that going for a long time. John, what about edge rusher? Any edge rusher standing out? That's such a premium position in today's NFL. Is there any real value left at that position or is that something they'll probably not address in this draft?
Well, I do like Marshawn Nealand from Western Michigan, and he's a guy that they brought in and visited with and did some significant homework. I think he's going to go pretty quickly today. So if you think, it starts at 33. If the Eagles stay put at 50, you're talking about 17 guys. So, you know. I don't think he would make it down to 50. And from there, Chris Braswell is probably a name from Alabama that people will recognize. I'm not as high on him. I wouldn't make that leap that early. So there's not, as I brought up, you could almost go from 33, not quite. Well, you could almost literally go from 33 to 50 and get a good offensive lineman with everybody taking offensive lineman. That's how deep it is there. And I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you probably got 10 guys over that span who you say, wow, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. And the Eagles aren't going to like all 10 of those players. It never works like that. But you get my point. There's a lot of depth at that position. If you're talking about edge rusher going today, 33 to 50, you're talking about Nealand, you're talking about Braswell, the other edge rusher from Penn State, maybe. I'm looking at my list here. Isaac from Penn State, he's probably not going to go, though, before 50. Not a lot. And then, after that, not a lot. So, if you can't get Nealand, and I don't think he's going to be there at 50, I would look in a different direction.
Yeah, that's where I think offensive line might make the most sense, especially if Howie doesn't want to get too aggressive and give up too many assets to move too far up. I mean,
Jalix Hunt, I forgot. I just want to throw that name in there. Jalix Hunt from Houston Christian, but I was hoping he would drop to the fourth round, which I don't think he will. And that's a problem because, again, I don't think he's good enough to go 50-53. You don't have a third-round pick, and he's probably not going to get to the fourth round. So, yeah, there's not a lot of edge rushers to be in the conversation for the Eagles. And the one who I would say take is Nealand, and I don't think he's going to be there.
John, what about wide receiver? I love the idea of a wide receiver three at this in this – point in the draft.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it because I don't believe in Paris like Campbell
Coleman or Troy Franklin, wide receiver out of Oregon. Who do you like there? And any players stand out to you that you think would be a good fit? Because I think you're drafting probably specifically for a slot wide receiver at that point.
Yeah, you want somebody who can play inside. Now the good thing is with AJ and Devontae, they can both play all three positions. So
yep.
it's not like you can't manipulate them at times, but you don't want to waste them playing tons of time in the slot either. So
yeah, I don't think they intended their star wide receivers to put them inside.
No, yeah, I mean, it can work. I mean, it works with Cooper Kupp. It can work, but, you know, I don't think AJ is too big and strong, and Devontae's probably not big enough to take the pounding maybe that you would inside on a consistent basis. So although he's supposedly up to 190 pounds, so he's getting bigger. Roman Wilson from Michigan would be my number one. I think he'd be a great fit, and I think he might be there at 50-53. And then the guy you mentioned, Franklin, also from Oregon. I think those are the two players in the mix that I might consider. I'd rather go with one offensive lineman and Nealon if they were there. But yeah, I could see them going receiver if they keep both picks.
Yeah, I like that Malachi Corley as well, wide receiver from Western Kentucky. A lot of good options there. This is where I said the draft kind of opens up here, where it can fall so many different ways. You might be left with a great offensive lineman that you don't have to move up for, or if you want a specific edge rusher, or you want to go and get Cooper DeJean, you know, you're going to have to package picks probably and go and get them. What about linebackers past Edger and Cooper? I know we talked a little bit about them. Junior Colson's been one of the names. A couple of Peyton Wilson, linebacker from NC State.
Yeah, he's got a lot of medical issues. I'm not sure Peyton Wilson's probably the best linebacker. If he didn't have any issues, I think he's even better than the Texas A&M kid. Why am I blanking on his name? I just said it 100 times. Edrin Cooper. You can tell I'm getting tired. I think he's even better, but he's got so many medical issues. I doubt the Eagles are going to go down that route. Trevin Wallace is a guy from Kentucky that I think could help the Eagles, but I don't think he should go in the 50-53 range. Be nice to have a third round pick for somebody like that. You know, it to me, it's Cooper or Colson. If you're going to go 50-53, they're probably both not going to be there. And then Cedric Gray from North Carolina is the other one. And I had him going in the fourth round, and that's with, you know, fingers crossed. You hope almost Cedric Gray or Trayvon Wallace fall to the fourth round. But I don't see that happening. I don't think that's a fit for the Eagles. I don't think he's the best athlete in the world. I think they want more of a coverage linebacker. And I don't know if that's his strength. I know people love the name and people want to see it, but I don't think it's a good fit. And, you know, everybody gets excited, you know, but where's Hassan Reddick now? New York Jets. Where's DeAndre Swift now? Chicago Bears. Where's Olamide Zaccheaus now? Washington Commanders. So, I mean, yeah, he's local, but there are better linebackers, I think, that fit the Eagles defense a little bit better.
Yeah, I would agree with that. What else, John? Anything else you think about going into this round? What's the approach like on this round? I know we talked about maybe the potential to trade up. We talked about a bunch of good players, a bunch of good positions. Do you let the board come to you here? You know, they have two picks. I almost feel like they're in a position of leverage, especially if they want an offensive lineman. But you are seeing a lot of rumors on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, that the Eagles are, you know, aggressive again in the calls to try and move up. What do you think the strategy should be going into tonight if John McMullen was in the draft room?
Yeah, I mean, I think Howie's going to get antsy, as I said, when you look. And I'm trying to figure out
last night.
And I'm trying to think what player And I keep going back.
Will it double dip in the defensive backs?
I don't think so. But I think the Eagles like their safeties a little bit more than maybe their fans do, specifically with Reed Blankenship and Sidney Brown. And Sidney's going to be back, if not by week one, or very early in the season. I don't know why people think it's become a bit of a trope that an ACL, because he used to be a year-long injury. Now it's 9 months, so he'll be back. He's not going to have much of an offseason. He's not going to work in OTAs, and that's big for a young, developing player, so I'm not downplaying that. It'd be nice if he had an offseason, but he's going to be back either week one or very early in the season.
Yeah, he was at the Sixers game the other night. He was looking jacked up pretty good for Sidney Brown.
Yeah. So I wouldn't worry about that. I think they're a little bit more set at safety than people realize. I'm trying to think of what player.
TJ Parker Johnson there too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, he's number one. So, but I think everybody's competent in CJ. It's Reed Blankenship that they're concerned about and Sidney Brown's injury. And I don't think the Eagles like Reed Blankenship probably more than most. And again, I think Sidney's going to be fine. So I don't think it's Cooper DeJean. So I keep going back to if they're going to go up, it's going to be for an offensive lineman. And, you know, I talked about Graham Barton a lot. If I was going to trade down, if I were the Eagles in the first round, he would have been the guy I targeted to be that day one starter right guard. And now that Jackson Powers Johnson is in the second round and Zach Frazier's in the second round, I could see them moving up for one of those two guys. That would be my guess if they're going to target a player. And also the kid from BYU, the tackle. Because a lot of people thought, and his name's Kingsley Suamaitaia. I'm screwing up his name, of course. But a lot of people thought he might sneak into the back end of the first round. And he was one of those guys that is higher thought of by NFL people than probably draft nicks or draft scouts. So just keep an eye on, keep that name in the back of your head if you can pronounce it.
Yeah. Programming note for everybody that's looking for Big Sills, who's normally live from 2 to 6. Dan had a special 1 hour show earlier today. Congratulations to Big Sills' daughter, who's graduating from college today. So he is not on the air today from 2 to 6, but we'll be back on Monday and a draft hit coming at the conclusion of the draft with Dan Cilio as well. So thanks everybody for checking in. Don't forget to drop us a like and a subscribe. So stay tuned on the channel. We'll be keeping you covered with wall-to-wall coverage at the draft and all the way up to the NFL of the 2024 NFL season. All right, Johnny Mac, they got two picks. I think they're in a position of power here. I think they can make a move. I'm with you. I think they're going offensive lineman. I guess it's pick your poison there on who they like. If there's that many good players still available in round two, which is – man, really a deep draft. Nine, we said nine went in round one, and there's still, you said there could be a run of, you know, up to 10, and they still might get the guy they want. So
it's crazy. Yeah.
It would be uncharacteristic for the Eagles to not capitalize that, you know, capitalize on that to some extent.
Yeah. And, you know, I would say if Edger and Cooper, and I don't know what they think, I haven't heard, and the reason I haven't heard anything about Junior Colson from the Eagles' perspective. So, I mean,
Edger and Cooper was at least in the top 30 visits. You did hear a couple rumblings that the Eagles were talking to him, or at least had some interest.
So, and that's kind of why I haven't gone towards Junior Colson. But, you know, it could be as you get to, you know, second, third, and certainly day three guys. There's less obvious interest at times, so you can't always just go by that, but history says that the Eagles figure out a way to make it known, or people figure out a way to figure out who they have interest in. And I haven't heard that name even once. Watch them take Junior Colson.
John, I'm going to give you the famous Jody hypothetical. You're on the clock. The Eagles stay put. Both picks. They got 50 and 53. Obviously, we don't know how the board is going to fall. Who are you taking?
Whoa. I'm trying to think who will fall to 50 tonight. I'm just pulling up. I think, you know, it starts with Buffalo at 33, and I think obviously they're going to take a receiver if they don't trade down. I think a bunch of receivers.
They trade out twice, and they lose two good receivers.
Yeah, that's weird, especially with Kansas City.
I thought that was interesting.
And I think, you know, somebody might try to trade up. I think if somebody's going to try to trade up to get somebody, it's probably going to be Cooper DeJean. I do think that. Could be Patrick Paul. I don't think he's going to make it. I don't think McKinstry's going to make it. Not that the Eagles will double dip. I don't think Nealon's going to make it. I don't think Cooper's going to make it to 50, I'm talking about. And then you're probably in the conversation with everybody else. And at that point, I would take Jackson Powers Johnson at 50. Yeah, that's my pick. If he's there, which is questionable. And at 53, I'd probably make the fans happy and take Roman Wilson and take a receiver, get another playmaker from Michigan. Never enough playmakers,
especially in the modern NFL.
Yeah. I don't know how much traffic he's going to get because there's only one football, but You thought Roman Wilson would be a nice bit for the Eagles. But it certainly be.
He got 30 something targets.
Yeah, well, he'd get more than that because he's a better player. So, but, you know, and then you mentioned Corley. He's a slot receiver. Franklin, those are the guys at receiver that could be in the mix.
All right, Johnny Mac. So I'm with you. O-line, wide receiver would be two good picks. I know a lot of people are craving that linebacker, but I just don't see how we package and picks to go and get Edger and Cooper and the other guys. They might just wait till round four, as you mentioned. So we'll see how it all shakes out tonight. The draft, they have 50 and 53. A lot of rumors that the Birds are going to be moving up. So keep your eyes peeled, everybody, on the news and on Jacob Sports. We'll keep you covered and give you a wall-to-wall coverage on what they do. John, thanks for checking in. Thanks for giving us a preview of day two. Everybody's much anticipated. It's my favorite time of the draft. And like I said, I think it opens up a lot. Everybody can kind of sit back and relax. There's not as much pressure per pick, and people can kind of take their flavor, as you mentioned. So thanks for checking in, everybody, on the Jacob Draft Special. Johnny Mac, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Andrew. I'm off to meet Quinyon Mitchell. In a little
bit. All right, sounds good. Quinn, is he already in Philly?
Yeah, he's coming in today. I don't know if he landed yet, but he's going to be available later this afternoon.
How about Quinyon Mitchell? Can apparently squat 500 plus pounds. That's tremendous.
Yeah, we got Saquon, we got Jalen, got Quinyon. Everybody can squat.
Squad group. That's pretty impressive for a defensive back in the NFL. I mean,
it is.
Yeah, it's. I don't think Darius Slay is putting up 500 on the squat rack.
No, I don't think there's too many people. No. You know, and there's only one quarterback putting up 625 or whatever Jalen does. So, you know.
Strong
Saquon,
team.
Saquon can beat them all.
Yeah.
With the quad, as they call it.
Yeah, Saquon, right, to get the tree trunks for the legs. All right, Johnny Mac, we'll check in with you tonight after each pick, and we'll be live with the coverage on the Jacob Sports Channel. Like the show, everybody, help us grow here as a platform and on YouTube. Thanks, everybody, for all your viewership and just staying locked with us all the time. So we appreciate it at Jacob Sports. Johnny Mac, thank you, sir. Drive safe down to the NovaCare, and we'll talk to you later on the night.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, everybody.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.